now we are doing a, I wanted a roll call, but right now we're waiting for Chris Laffin to do a roll call.
Chris just got on.
Okay, great. We want to know who is in attendance right now. So okay. Chris will do a roll call.
Yes.
You could say, aye, you're here. All right, go ahead, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you. Elise Arsenault from Oak Hill. I don't hear Elise Arsenault from Oak Hill. Barbara Clunan, Tarrant. I don't hear Barbara Clunan. Steve Morgan, Conservator.
Yes.
Good. Emily Morganti, Tarrant or Guardian. Al Sylvester, Advisory Board. Okay. Lisa Flaherty Vaughn, Deafblind Association of Connecticut.
Here, Lisa's saying yes, she's here. Yes, I'm here, thank you.
Great. Eric Krengel, Capital Region Mental Health Clinic.
Yes. Eric is here. Eric's saying yes, hello.
Okay. Sandra Miles, Department of Developmental Services, Upgrade Training School.
Yes, I'm here. This is Sandy. And I believe Emily Morganti is retired.
Okay. Well, we still have her listed as a board member, so we'll have to... Okay. Karen Olson, New England... I'm sorry. Karen Olson, New England Consortium on Deafblindness.
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Wayne Seidel, Department of Developmental Services.
Good morning. I'm here.
Jesse Stanley, American School for the Deaf.
Yes, this is Jesse. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, and Hannah Tyler, Chair.
Yes, I am here.
Okay, so that means we have... one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight voting members, which gives us a quorum.
Very good. Okay.
Hello, this is
Hannah
this
Tyler.
Is Clark here.
We're missing a few people.
Okay, this is Hannah Tyler. Someone wanted to speak?
Could we do the attendance for the non-voting members? I'll call them.
Okay.
Okay, I don't know if any of these people are here, but Crystal Kelly, VESBE Vocational Rehabilitation Program Representative. Okay. Christopher Lassen, that would be me, I'm here. Heidi Henner, Bureau of Rehabilitation Services.
Yes, I'm Heidi. Heidi's here.
Great.
Okay.
And Mary Johns, VESBE Children's Services Program. Others who attend the meeting occasionally, Andrew Norton. Go ahead.
I'm the legislative liaison for Aging and Disability Services, and I am present.
It's Marjorie Santos, VESBE Adult Services Program.
Yes, I am here.
I don't know if Brenda Baron-Sully is here. No. Or Alvin Cheggy. Is Alvin here from the Bureau of Rehab Services? and Alan Guns.
I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Also attending, I believe, is Zach Moore, who is taking the minutes in as he's jumped into the breach. He is the Voc Rehab Secretary, and he is replacing Lisa Tagway in taking the minutes. Zach, thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm here.
And I believe also attending is Cherie Hembry from the Communication Advocacy Network. And Sue Patterson from the Communication Advocacy Network.
Yes, this is Sue. I'm here.
Okay.
Yes, I'm director of CAN. Thank you. Good morning.
Is there anyone else who I haven't, whose name I have not called? Who is here? Oh, yes. Tom Ogilvie. I so beg your pardon. From the Helen Keller National Center Northeast Regional Representative.
And I'm a voting member.
Right. Done. Okay. And anyone else whose name I have? Okay.
May I excuse myself here? My name is Pat Clark. I am the spotlighter for today. I just want to let people know that we are having some pretty significant connection issues. Those of you who are relying on your hearing can hear individuals speak at the same time that they are speaking, but we are having some connection issues. Myself, I am at times not able to see the individuals who are using the interpreter. There are delays in me being able to spotlight for some reason, so that is causing a delay. And there are delays with apparently being able to hear some of the speakers. And by the time we sign, there is some freezing going on. So I just wanted people to know to speak slowly. Watch the interpreter on the screen. You can see whether or not, excuse me, they are keeping up. We ask that individuals make sure that their appropriate name is on the screen so the interpreters can identify them correctly. If you are in need of speaking or commenting or voting, if you could turn on your screen so that we can see that you need to speak, either the interpreter or myself will alert those running the meeting that the person is looking to make a statement. If there's any other questions, feel free to give us a call. But as Lisa Flaherty did say, there is quite a significant delay, and the interpreters kind of have to adjust to that delay to make sure that they are able to get the information across. So please bear with us as we try to work through this kind of gloomy day that is having some havoc on our connection. Thank you.
If Madam Chair, do you want to, now that we've concluded the introductions, do you want to get on to old business?
Yes, this is Hannah Tyler. Welcome, everyone. Now that we have our introduction, we will introduce old business. And that begins with the approval of the minutes from July 27, 2021. Let's give each one of us a couple minutes to review. And if there are any corrections to be made, let us know. Starting now.
This is Kathy Morgan. Oh, good morning. Over time, I've noticed that my name is presented with the title conservator. I'm not sure what that title is. I am the legal guardian of two men who are deafblind and are in the Oak Hill School programs. So if I would be more comfortable if you would change the title from conservator to legal guardian or guardian. Thank you.
And this is Hannah Tyler, your chair. Just a small typo I noticed. And you go to budget update. I believe that's like second page. Go to the third page. It starts person services. It came too late in the federal fiscal year. Two is T-O. That's a minor. It should be T-O-O. Late, minor. Typo. If there are no other corrections or changes, we can have someone make a motion.
This is Kathy Morgan. I make the motion to accept the minutes from the July meeting.
This is
Eric. Well, I second.
And we can vote. All in favor? Are there any opposed? Otherwise, we go forward. Very good. Now we will head to update on deafblind technology program.
So,
we have Chris Lassen, would that be an update from you?
Yes, we received that, unfortunately, a little bit too late to include it in the meeting. And I would like to ask if we could move that down in the agenda while we go on to the other items.
Sure. We certainly can. Okay, so the next thing down on the list under new business, we have for the year 2022, first quarter expenditure. And I believe that will be from the director or Chris. Are you?
Sure. So the expenditures during the first quarter, and I can summarize by vendor. So the Communication Advocacy Network, which serves 25 BESBE clients, expended $7,799.22 in July, another $7,721.45 in August, and another $7,277.05 in September. And so that
plus it, the total's 22,000 and just over $22,800 for the for this quarter so far. That includes direct services to clients, as well as a field trip that a number of the clients took, the Hudson River cruise that I will defer to someone who, perhaps Sue Pedersen or someone else, can describe how that activity transpired at a little later point in the meeting. But the total expenditures on that cruise were $3,376 even. And so that that brings us to just over $26,000 in the quarter to date. Expenditures for the Oak Hill School, Connecticut Institute for the Blind. There have been no reported expenditures for the first 3 months of this fiscal year. And for the individual vendors who serve, who coordinate services to five different clients, the total expenditures are 16 and 2, 36, 40, just a hair under $5,000 for the for three of the five clients. Two of the clients still have not been able to utilize the community inclusion services because partly because in one case the contract was not finalized in timely fashion and they haven't been able to proceed with hiring staff to assist the client. And in one case, our client has still not been able to rejoin the day program to which he was being transported. So we're waiting for additional progress in that arena. So the total expenditures are just a little over $31,000 for the first 3 months. So.
This is Hannah Tyler, your chair. Does anyone have any questions?
Yes. This is Kathy Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Chris. So the financial year ended June 30th, correct?
That's right.
How much money was returned to the federal government?
Oh, well, if nothing went back to the feds, the unexpended funds went back to the state. I believe we covered that in the July meeting. I don't have those figures readily available, but if you'd like, I can certainly get those out when we issue the minutes. I'll do a little bit of research on that.
Chris?
Yes.
Reviewing the minutes, the last line of the first page.
Yes.
It looks like $118,530 out of $265,000.
Oh, there.
$738. So equal to $147,208.
Yeah.
So that, okay, then my question, the money went back to the state.
Yes, that money reverted to the state general fund.
Okay, thank you.
This is Karen Olson. So my question then is that in this new fiscal year, was that money put back into the budget for this current year, or was that permanently taken out?
No, that was, so any monies we don't expend in one year just go back to the general fund, and then we have an allocation for it. We have a fresh allocation for this year, which we, the budget for which we approved at, I believe, the last meeting. I have to reacquaint myself briefly, but we did approve quite a few contracts for fiscal year 2022. If you look on page 3 of the minutes, the client service plan work group made recommendations which the full committee approved in April. Would you like me to review the allocations for the current fiscal year?
No, that's all right. I just had that one question. And this is just an aside. I don't know if it's coming from you, Chris, or other people, but there's a lot of extra noise. Sounds like papers being shuffled or things being moved around. It's making it hard to, you know, hear. So I don't know. Maybe people just need to mute.
Okay, this is Hannah Tyler, your chair. If there are no more questions, let's move on to COVID-19 in-person protocol status update. That be Chris
Lofton
again?
I could provide that, or Andrew Norton, if he's present, could give an update on the COVID protocol.
Okay, whoever would like to, go for it.
I'm afraid I wasn't prepared to make an update on the COVID protocol, but I would believe that the existing protocols are still in place as we are not fully out of the woods, you know, especially in situations where we're talking about close physical presence. So there, you know, obviously some rules have been relaxed in some public settings in Connecticut, although there are still some cities that have mask mandates. Some have been lifting them, but not all. So I would think that the protocols that were put in place and whatever adaptations were added to them should remain until things get even a bit better. They've been getting better, and a lot of people are vaccinated, and even more are getting vaccinated, but it seems to me that those protocols should probably remain in place. Although if someone has a counter argument to make, we could certainly hear it, but you know, there are still a few people dying every day in Connecticut from COVID, and the numbers aren't at zero. They're not even as low as they were early in the summer. They're higher, although they've gotten better. So I guess that would be my report, if you can call that a report.
I'd be happy to elaborate as well in terms of procedures in place when BSBE staff go out and assist clients in person. we've returned largely to in-person services when those are indicated and when we're able to provide them. And at this point, in the adult services program, I'll say as one example, we are serving clients in person unless the client has a strong preference for us to assist remotely. And very occasionally, we will find a client who prefers to have the contact by our field staff provided remotely for, say, the intake and case management provided by a social worker, but for orientation and mobility services, we're doing those fully in person. And most of the rehabilitation teacher services are also in person, although occasionally we've had a client who's requested a remote consultation, but sort of that's agency-wide where things stand. I think it's largely the case in VR and in children's services as well. I'm not sure how, we don't have updates on in-person protocols that are in place, you know, as in terms of the services provided by the deafblind vendors, deafblind grant vendors. If there's an interest in hearing those among the members of this committee, we can attempt to get an update for our next meeting, but I'll await your guidance on that.
Okay, this is Hannah Tyler, your chair. Are there any questions? Anyone have some concerns?
Yeah, this is Lisa. This is Lisa.
Yes. Go ahead, Lisa. This is Hannah Tyler.
Good morning. This is Lisa. Yes, I'm wondering. I know that we are still in the midst of COVID. Things have not been resolved yet, but I am curious about the requirements for masking and so on and so forth. Is there a protocol? I want to just clarify, is it more of an individual choice? Or is it, you know, I mean, because we definitely want to keep everybody protected. So I'm just, you know, wondering what is an official protocol and what is a special preference individually?
Well, I could respond to that in terms of direct services provided by BESBE staff. From the inception of the, from the very beginning of the time when we started to go out and serve clients in person again, we have asked that our clients wear a face mask, and the staff have been directed to wear a face mask. And that's been pretty universally the case, except that I do remember Brian Sigmund, our retired director, mentioning at our last meeting here that the alternative to that, especially for clients who, you know, have a preference